வல்லேஹம் ஸ்ரீகுரு.
The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on the 22nd of May 1975 in Melbourne, Australia.
Sri Rupam Chakrajatam.
There was a great devotee in South India. He was a treasury officer. So he took money from the treasury and constructed a very nice temple. Later on he was caught and he was put into jail by the Nawab, at that time the Mohammedan king, Nawab. He saw in dream the two boys, very beautiful, they have come to the Nawab, said, what money he has taken, he can take from me and release. So the Nawab said, if I get my money, I can release him. Then, when his dream broke, he saw the money on the floor, but nobody was there. Then he could understand that he is a great devotee. He called him immediately that you are released and you take this money. Whatever you have already taken, that's all life. And now this money also you take, you spend as you like. So devotees sometimes do like that. Actually, nothing is private property. That is our pleasure. Ishavasam idam sadvam. Everything belongs to God. That's it. Under the influence of Maya, we are thinking that this is my problem. Just like, suppose this Kusha, where from the wood has come? Has anybody produced wood? Who has produced? It's God's property. Rather, we have stolen God's property and claiming my property. Then Austria, the Englishman came here, but is that the property of the Englishman? It was there. America, it was there. And when everything will be finished, it will be there. In the middle we come and claim, it is my property and fight. Is it not? You are a barrister, you can judge better.
That was the argument he used.
Originally everything belongs to God. So why you are claiming it is my property? Suppose you have come here. You sit down for 1 hour, 2 hours, and if you claim it is my property, is that very good judgment? You have come from outside. You are allowed to sit down here for 2 hours. And if you claim this is my property. Similarly, we come here, we take bath, either in America or Australia or in India, and remain for 50, 60, or 100 years. And why should I claim this is my property?
You can claim it, I suppose, as your own property. What happens, I would have thought, is more that for a time, you have got possession.
For a time, you have got possession of the chair. That does not mean you are property.
That's suppose if somebody came and took the chair while I'm waiting in my possession, I'm going to give it to
him. No, that is, but nobody will disturb you, you remain in your chair. That does not mean because you have sat down on the chair for 2 hours, you become proprietor.
One gets attached. One gets attached to the chair for a while.
That
I
is,
like this chair.
No, that's all right.
It's a nice chair.
You like, you sit down, and you go when it is finished. But how do you claim that it is your property?
Goodbye.
That is called Maya. This is Maya. The philosophy of Maya. Maya means what is not. Ma-ya. Ma means not. Ya means this. So Maya means the conclusion as you have made, that is not. That is not the fact. So we are claiming America is our, Australia is our, India is our. Nothing our. Everything God. The best conclusion is, it is God's property, God has given us to live, let us thank God, feel obliged to Him, and glorify Him. That is all. That is Krishna consciousness, movement. You accept the real position that nothing belongs to you, everything belongs to God. You also belong to God. Your body, yourself, everything belongs to God. This body, material body. That material energy, earth, water, air, fire, everything belongs to God. This sea belongs to God. Water, vast water. You have not created, neither your forefather has created. So this body is made of earth, water, air, fire, five elements. So you, the body is also God's. So for I am soul, I am also part and parcel of God. So everything belongs to God. This is Krishna. We are falsely claiming and that it is our. This is Maya. Maya means what is not fact. That is the meaning of Maya.
This concept that everything belongs to God, it can't work unless everybody believes that everything belongs to God.
But everybody may be mad. That does not change the fact. If some madman comes in this room and invites, I am the proprietor, you get out. But that is not a fact.
I can understand, you know, you were talking about the sea and so on, but it's for people to use.
Use, you can use. Tena tattena bundita. That is the basic injunction. What is given to you, you use it. Just like one gentleman has got 5 sons. He gives 1 son, this is your property, this is your property, this is that you. But the sons must acknowledge that this is father's property, he has given that. Similarly, in the Vedic Shastra, it is said that everything belongs to God. Man, whatever He has given to you, you can use. Don't encroach upon others.
But if He's given, you were saying that if He's given something to you and don't encroach upon others, but there are certain things that one person has, or one group of persons have, which I think truly can be said that...
Well, originally we have to accept everything belongs to God. Just like father and sons. The son must know the property is us. That is the real knowledge. Now, whatever Father has given me, I use it. Why shall I encroach upon others, my other brother, which he has got from the Father? This is good sense. Why shall I fight with my other brother? My Father has given him this property to him, so let him use that. And whatever he has given me, let me use it. Why shall I encroach upon his property?
This is
good sense.
I can understand when you say don't encroach on other people's property. If I understand you correctly, what you're saying is that if you have something, your Father has given you something, and someone else wants to use it, let him. I can understand that, but don't you get to the stage, or can't you get to the stage of time, that for some reason or other, you don't want him to use it?
He's saying that if someone does not want, if you don't want someone to use what you have, if someone tries to forcibly...
No, that is another thing.
A situation could arise when you wouldn't want somebody to use what you were using for some particular reason. You might be using it yourself at that time. That situation can arise that you don't want.
We are believing that everything belongs to God. Someone else does not believe in that concept and tries to use what we...
That is wrong. That I say. That is his wrong concept.
Well, how do you reconcile, or how do you work out a situation? If everything belongs to God,
yeah,
we have to run society.
But you don't forget that everything belongs to God. Because you have to run society, it does not mean that you forget the real thing.
So I really don't object to that idea at all. But the thing is that the system we're working within has got
different concepts. It should be rectified.
It should be something rectified.
Rectified.
I suppose while you're now thinking on the same... On the same wavelength, because you can imagine
now
the
you have got
problems
the United Nations. Now, if they are sane men, they should pass a resolution. The whole world belongs to God. And we are all God's sons. So let us make now United States of the world. That can be the reason. If they can make United States of America, why not United States have the whole world?
I think that would probably solve a lot of problems.
Yes.
Because
all
ownership,
problems.
Possession,
all problems. Now suppose in India there is scarcity of foodstuff. In America, in Africa, in Australia, there is enough land. Produce foodstuff, distribute. Then immediately, whole nation is becoming that. Use everything, God's gift. We are all sons. Very nicely, then all the problems are. Now, the difficulty is that we have made, no, this is my problem. We shall use it, nation. In the Vedic conception, there is no such thing as national. There is no such conception. That is the idea, Vedic conception of society or politics. There is no question of national.
You're thinking more of an international world than a national world.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I certainly don't.
That we want to do. One God, one state, one scripture, and one act. That is the ultimate end of Krishna consciousness. That's why we are from different countries. We don't think nationally. I'm Indian. We all think that we are all servants of Krishna. And they are working in that spirit. It is possible. If this idea is accepted in the United Nations, it can be done. But they will not accept. They are going to be united. But everyone is thinking, first of all, my interest. All cheating. They are outwardly, now we have come to United Nations. But no one is going to be united. Everyone is thinking, it is my first interest first. I must be better if it is opposite. Therefore, for the last 20 years, more than, they are trying to be united, but it is becoming difficult. The plans are increasing. In New York, they have got their headquarters. When I pass through, I see there another plan has increased. So, this United Nations is a failure. And it will be failure, because there is no God on it.
I don't think it's necessary that it fails. I don't think it's necessary that it fails. I think things are changing definitely throughout the world. It's a matter of which course they take.
No, I don't think they're preparing for what? Very changing. A slight provocation, there may be one.
Who, for the first time in years, are becoming aware and are getting interested in things outside their own town, their own village or state or whatever it is they have. You have people, the young people now are getting interested like in things like poverty, they're interested in Bangladesh and so on. This is good, but you nonetheless have a very large proportion of people who have got that idea of I'm all right and I look after mine, without taking the overall picture into account. I think that so long as you have different concepts, different beliefs, it's going to be very hard to get to what you think.
That is to be united first. That first thing is that everyone should be convinced or understand clearly that everything belongs to God. But they have no conception of God. That is, the whole human society at the present moment, majority, they're godless, especially the communists. They don't acknowledge the scientists, the philosophers, the scholars, all godless. Scientists' special business is how to defy God. They say science is everything, we can do everything by science. There is no need of God.
I don't think so anymore. Not more likely.
Not anymore.
Well, some circles, yes.
That was never anymore, but if they are realizing that, that is very good.
But you can't say that scientists are working.
Yes, they say.
It's opposite to
they God. Say, oh yes, I met many scientists. They say that we shall solve everything by scientific advancement. We have done already. They say that.
Just because.
Just like there is a big theory. Chemical. Theory. One big scientist, big or small, whatever it may be, he has got a Nobel Prize.
It's medium size. It's medium size.
Yes. He is making the theory that life has come from chemical. The chemical company. chemical evolution. Darwin's theory is also of that. He is a big, big scientist. They are so fooled that life has come from matter. Where is the proof? He was lecturing in California University, and there was one student in my disciple. He challenged him that he could get the chemicals, whether he can manufacture life. That answer was, that I cannot say. Why? You are putting this theory that life has come from chemicals. So science means observation and experiment. Now, experimentally prove, get the chemicals and produce a life.
They're trying.
That is another foolishness. When you are trying to be a lawyer or barrister, that does not mean you are a barrister. When you are a student of law, you cannot say that I am a barrister or advocate. You cannot. You are trying to be, that is another thing.
That's what they're trying.
But why they are trying to be, they are taking the position of leader. That is the misleading. That is describing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Andhadatham dhai vipuniyama. One blind man is trying to lead many other blind men. What is the use of such leading? If the leader is blind, how he do well to other blind men?
Beethoven was deaf.
Hmm?
Beethoven was deaf.
How is that?
Beethoven, the great composer, he was deaf.
At least he thought of it.
But can't you have people doing good for the sake of goodness?
He does not know what is good.
But there are certain things.
Therefore I say blind. Does not know what is good. Real goodness is to understand God. That is real goodness.
But there are certain things that are good that you can accept as being good just by themselves. You see an old lady who gets run over by a car. You go and help her. Now, there are certain things that are good by themselves, I think, and that people will react and do the good thing, even though they mightn't have any concept of God.
No. Unless we have got the real platform, how we can do good? Just like our Madhudini Maharaj, were obliged to you, they have done some good legal affairs. But unless you are a lawyer, legal man, how can you do it? You have a mind to do good. But if you are not a lawyer, how could you do?
But there would be a lot of lawyers.
Now, that is another thing. I am talking of yourself. If man does not know what is good, then how will he do good? The first business is that he must know what is good. Then he can do something good. Otherwise, what is the use of jumping like monkey? He must know. Because you are a lawyer, you know how to deal with law. You can do good. But a layman who is not a lawyer, how he can do good? So therefore, anyone who is posing himself as leader to do good to the society, he must know first of all what is good.
Would you say that the lawyer can do good whether or not he believes in God?
No. I am saying that if you are not a lawyer, if you have no study of the law, how can you do that?
Well, this is what I was putting. I was hoping to lead you from there to the other situation of no study or no specific training.
No. See, the problem is saying that you could help us legally because you knew the law.
Yes.
If you weren't a lawyer, then you couldn't have helped us legally.
I see what you mean. Yes.
So therefore, now taking that same example, you can't do good for someone unless you know what good is.
Misunderstanding what you're saying.
You can't help us legally unless you know the law yourself. You can't. I mean, just any Joe can't walk into the court and start speaking. The judge will say, go away. But because you're a lawyer, you can help us.
But the question Raymond asked before was, if somebody helped an old lady across the street and he was, say, an atheist, would they be doing a good action?
Well, it depends.
That
depends on what the lady was doing.
It depends if you push
that lady. That lady may have been.
If she wanted to cross the road.
No, that lady may have been walking home with a cartload of booze to kill herself.
So
when she got knocked over and all her liquor fell out on the ground, and you didn't help her up with it, then maybe it was good that you helped
her. In that particular situation where he helped the lady across the road.
No, particular situation is different. But generally, if we do not know what is the ultimate goal, then we misguide. That is. So either in society or politics or economy or religion, philosophy, culture. Everyone is engaged in some department. But if that leader does not know what is the ultimate goal of life, how he lived, that is giving direction in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In two verses, one verse is, idam hi pumsas tapasas sutasava. Find out this verse. It is in the first canto. Idam hi pumsas tapasas sutasava. Istasya suktasya jabutrutasaya. Avichita artha kovibhi nirupita yaduttama sloka gunanva.
What is it? Idam hi
pumsas.
Idam hi pumsas tapasas sutasya va. Istasya suktasya jabudhi tadatyaho. Ivichita vita kavibir nirupita. Learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerities, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of hymns and charity, culminates in the transcendental descriptions of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry.
The advancement of knowledge in any department, that is very good. But what is the aim? The aim is to glorify the Supreme God. Just like you are a lawyer. You gave us help in some difficulty trial. Why? Because you wanted to continue glorification of the Lord. That these men are doing nice. Why they should be harassed? That means you help glorification of the Lord. So that's your success as a lawyer. So anyone who helps this movement, that they are spreading to the consciousness, God consciousness, they should be helped in all respect. And that is perfection. Everything is required, but it should be culminated in the matter of glorifying the Supreme. Then it is. In another place, find out this verse. Atapungvi dhijasreshta parnasama vibhagasa sanuskhitasya dharmasya sansiddhi haritosana. It's like you have helped in an institution, in a difficult position. That means you have pleased Krishna. That is your success. My devotees are in difficulty. They wanted some legal help. You as a lawyer help them. So you have pleased Krishna, God. That is the aim of life. Whether by my work in different spheres, as a lawyer, as a businessman, or as a scholar, as a philosopher, as a scientist, as an economist. There are so many women. It doesn't matter. But you should see whether you are successful. And what is the standard of success? The standard of success is whether you have pleased God. Read this. Atha pungbi dhijasreshta.
Atha pungbi dhijasreshta parnashram vikvarchaha manus isyasya dharmasya samsidhya harito svanam. O best among the twice-born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and order of life, is to please the Lord, Hari.
That's it. So, whether by my profession, by my business, by my talent, by my capacity, there are different categories. Whether I have pleased God, then it is. If you have pleased God by your legal profession, you are in a different dress, it doesn't matter. You are as good as they are whole time in serving God. Because their business is also to please God. Similarly, if you have pleased God, then even by practicing your law, you are as good as the Supreme Court. That should be the end. Whether I please God with my professional duty or occupational duty. That is the standard. Let people take up this. We don't say that you change your position. You become a sannyasi or you give up your profession and become bald-headed. No, we don't say that. you are by nature. So, this is Krishna. So you remain in your position. But see whether by your discharge of duties you have pleased God. Then everything is gone.
I think this is the attitude to certainly in my religion, where we believe that through the profession, the way you've mentioned it, you're doing things towards God, and even in the ordinary day of the week, that you could be doing or generally leading your life in a way to please God. And that's my belief, because my religion has the same belief as what you've just been mentioning, that even through the running of the profession, the normal practice of the profession, is one way of helping people. And because you're helping people, you're in fact doing something that God wants.
No, not general people.
It's the indirect way, because God wants people to be happy. Now, if you can help people, if you can help people as people, surely that means
that you must be pleasing
God.
First of all, suppose you are a lawyer and some man has committed murder and he wants your help. And suppose by your legal tricks you save him. And that will not please God.
You've got a different consideration here. You see. Because the law that we have is very different to God's law.
We must accept God's law, not the people's law.
Well, the problem is that we're confined by the state law here, just as the boys with the flowers. Now, maybe in Krishna's law they did nothing wrong, but they were still subjected to being taken away like that.
Yeah, but he saved them. He saved them.
Now, wait a minute. Look, I want to get this thing straight. One boy was charged. Now, I don't care what happened or where the flowers came from. I was told, and I believe, that that particular boy was not involved. Now, someone else, maybe, but as far as I was concerned, I believed that the boy that they got was not involved himself.
Now, I'm not saying that some other people were not involved, but I think that particular boy, I'm satisfied. Do you agree with this, Warren?
Yeah. But even if you had been told that that boy did it, your job would have been to
but try if, and if say... If let's say that boy, if I was told, look, that boy did it, then the case would have been done completely differently, because then you can't then go around and say, well, look, he didn't do it. So it's a different approach. Different approach altogether, you see. But as far as, I just wanted to get that thing straight as far as that particular boy. But according to the law, here we have to operate within our law. Now, true it is that outside it, you've got the question of God's law. But I'm not a canon lawyer, I'm not involved.
I know that that's
I can
that's
only operate with the tools that I have.
Actually, if you are a churchgoer, it makes it very interesting because you're subject to that church law.
Well, I'm a churchgoing person.
No, we can judge from these standard laws. India is still, if one has a very good garden and flowers, if somebody goes, sir, I want to take some flowers from your garden for worshipping God, yes, you can take it. They'll be very glad.
This man, his livelihood depended on those flowers. And I think his possessions were more important to him, unfortunately.
It's a funny story. There's a funny follow-up to that one, and that is that the flowers were taken from two men that ran nurseries. And we had to go through an appeal finally to get home. But just before the appeal came on, the boys needed a glass house. There's a special plants which we've got outside here.
Easy.
And they didn't know anything about glass houses, so they're driving around. And I said, well, let's go and find out something about glass houses. Oh, there's a nice nursery. the car drives up, you see. Deborah T goes up and he said, excuse me, sir, but we're interested in glass houses. Will you please get out of my land? Say nursery. Like 200 nurseries around the area, you picked that particular one.
But if people would have been God-confident, they would have excused. Oh, they have come for God's service. All right, you can take it. Therefore, the first business is to make people God-confident. Then everything is done. Just Shastri Bhakti, there is a verse in Mara. Just Shastri Bhakti, Bhagavati Atinchana, Sarvai Gunai Tattva Samasati Sura. Rav Bhaktasya Kuto Mahaduguna, Mano Rathena Asato Yavati Vahi. The meaning is that anyone who is God-conscious, devotee, he has got all the good qualities, what we consider as good qualities, he has got. And similarly, one who is not a devotee of God, he has no good qualities. Because he will hover on the mental platform. There are different platforms. Bodily concept of life, general, and this body. Therefore, my business is to satisfy the senses. This is bodily concept of life. And others, they are thinking, I'm not this body, I'm mind. They are going on mental speculation, like philosophers. Thoughtful man. Above that, there is intelligent class of man, practicing some yoga. And spiritual platform is above that. first bodily concept brought, then mental, then intellectual, then spiritual. So this Krishna consciousness movement is on the spiritual platform, above body, mind and intelligence. Actually, we should come to that platform, because we are spirit soul. We are neither this body, nor this mind, nor this intelligence. So, one who is on the platform of spiritual consciousness, they have got everything. Intelligence, proper use of mind, proper use of the body, just like a millionaire. He has got all the lower grade position. 10 rupees or 100 rupees or 100 pounds. He has got all of it. Similarly, if we try to make an attempt to bring people on the platform of God consciousness, then he is possessing all other qualities, have to take care of the body, have to use the mind, have to use intelligence. But it is not possible that everyone should become God consciousness. That is not possible. Because there are different ways. But at least one class of men should remain in the society as ideal, God consciousness. Just like for our usual life, we require lawyers, we require engineers, we require medical practitioners, we require so many. Similarly, in the society, there must be a class of men who are fully God conscious, an ideal. That is necessary. Just like in your body, you have got hands, legs, belly, but the head must be there. If your head is cut off, then despite you have got hands, legs and belly, it is useless. So, this attempt, this consciousness movement, is an attempt to keep at least one class of men, ideal devotee, ideal character. At least people will see, oh, here is an ideal thing. That is required. That is described in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. How to create a first class man. Just like we have got educational institution for giving instruction on law or medical science or engineering. Similarly, there must be an institution to make first class devotee ideal. That is necessary.
Problem in Western society, because in Western society you're not the head, you're inferior. If you're not the head,
who's having the head?
In Indian society that's not so.
Who's having the head?
All want to be heads, one way or another.
He says that we all want to be heads.
No, that's a very good idea. But the leg is also required. If you simply keep the head and there is no leg, then it is incomplete.
Because we should change around with
everything is required. To keep the body fit, you require head, you require arms, you require belly, you require leg. That is the system of varnasram. In India, you have heard that there is a class, Brahmin. Now it is now broken. But this is the basic civilization. That one class of man should be the Brahmana, first class. One class of man should be Kshatriya, the administrators, politician. One class of man should be food producer, Vaishya. And one class of man should be laborer, who has no brain, but he can assist the other three.
The ideal in Western society is that all people should be equal.
No, that is not the ideal. And neither it is possible.
No.
Not that everyone is going to be lawyer. Even though everyone has got the ambition to become a first-class lawyer and earn light, anything. And that is not possible. Therefore, it requires selection. Who will become a lawyer? Who will become a scientist? Who will become a medical man?
In our society, you are taught at school that if you try hard enough, you can become prime minister.
Yes, you can. There is no harm. You become prime minister. But I say that not everyone is capable to become prime. That has to be. If one man is not capable, and if he takes education to become, he'll be a waste his time.
But once you have the idea in your head, you can be prime minister, you don't want to be a leader.
And you become. But if he's a loafer and he wants to become prime minister, then it will create havoc. Just like in America, he was not fit for the president's post. Nixon was elected. Then again, he has to be dragged down. We say the fit man should go to become the particular.
Our system, I think, is not very good. But everyone is taught this way.
No, that must be just like first-class man. They should judge for which purpose this man is. Practical psychology there is, I think. They can decide like that. Anyway, the society must have all divisions of men, and then the society is perfect. And we have already many divisions, but we are lacking one division, that the first class men, first class ideal men. That is lacking.
I think everybody acknowledges that.
Yes, that first-class man is stated here. Read that.
Samadamas-tapasocham-chanti-vajavam-eva-cha jnanam-vijnanam-hastikyam-brahma-kama-svabhavajam. Translation. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahman is worth.
So we have to train men like that.
I don't think anybody would disagree with any one of us yet.
So, as we are training lawyer, as we are training medical man, we can train some man like that. It is possible. If you train from the childhood, it is possible. It doesn't matter from which family he is coming, but it will be trained. Just like you have been trained as a lawyer, it doesn't matter from which family you are. Maybe lawyer's family or engineer's family, it doesn't matter. Training. At the present moment, to make the society perfect, a class of men should be trained as Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. And if the first class men are there, people will consult them, people will follow them, the whole society.
Yeah. What about soldiers?
Huh?
Soldiers.
Soldiers, they should be also trained. They are being trained. Kshatriyas. Just read the soldiers.
Soryam tejo dritya daksham dukhe chakya parayanam danam yishwar bhavascha chaturam kamasvabhavajam.
Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and
courage in battle.
American
soldier. No, whoever may be. Not that I sit down in my armchair and I give direction. The poor soldiers have fight. No. He should go. Courage. He should personally give direction. Do like this. Who is doing that? The Minister of Defense is very comfortably sitting on his chair and the poor soldiers are fight. That is not required. He must go, first of all. Do like this.
His duty.
Just like in Battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna is in front. The other side, Duryodhana, the real fighter, they are face to face. Soldiers are assistants. Where is that? So they should be trained up. So unless he is, by nature, very powerful, Sojong. What is that?
Sojong. Heroism.
Heroism. Therefore, the Kshatriyas were allowed to hunt in the forest, to become heroes. You have to pay, just like in medical laboratory, the first of all, dissect some poor animal before touching human. Therefore, Kshatriyas were allowed to hunt, to become hero, facing the tiger, come on. And he still, say about 25 years ago, there was a native prince in Jaipur. Every year he would go to the forest and face the tiger without any help. That is
required.
That is required. Those who are politicians, those who are going to be president, they must be like that.
In our society that wouldn't be thought good.
No, your society, whatever it may be, this is the idea.
Well, that's almost the description of General Amin.
Huh?
That's almost the description of General Amin.
General?
Where's he?
Big Daddy Amin?
There's a...
Uganda.
Uganda.
There's a general in Africa who's very powerful, but he's demonic.
Well, they should not be demonic. There are other things like that. So don't do them again.
Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity and leadership.
Generosity.
He hasn't got
generosity. Yeah.
No, he's got another one, insanity.
Not insanity.
Can't
substitute. Yeah. Everything is there. He must be at the same time, although he is hero, he must be generous. Just like Alexander the Great, perhaps you know this story, he arrested one thief. So when he was arrested and he was being judged by Alexander, the thief pleaded that what is the difference between you and me? You are a great thief, I am a small thief. So Alexander understood it and got him to be just. This is generosity. You must agree to the principle.
Well, there's another one, the battle. You know, the big battle where the opposition, what was his name, was on the ground and he said, you won't... It's an Indian.
Yeah, we brought back, Wally, one picture from India of the Battle of Kurukshetra of Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu's head was there and Karna was on the ground with his chariot. And Arjuna was about to kill him, and Krishna was directing him to kill. So I told Wally the story that when Abhimanyu was surrounded by the Maharathis, there was no mercy then. So now Karna was objecting that he cannot shoot a man if he gets off his chariot. And Krishna said there was no mercy with Abhimanyu, so therefore there will be no mercy now.
Tit for tat.
But where was the generosity then?
Now what? That is happening. Tit for tat.
Was that generosity? The generosity?
That's just John's Wally, surely. There's generosity.
That is war tactics. That is war tactics. Sometimes we have to use war tactics. Because you have to own victory. But at this time, they were generous, because in this battlefield of Kurukshetra, they would fight like anything, like enemies. But at night they're friends. The one man is going. Just like sportsmen, they fight during the play. But after that, they're friends, talking together, drinking together. Like that.
Like barristers and prosecutors.
Yeah. They're paid for fighting. But when the fighting is over, they're friends.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Srila Prabhupada, Raymond did not realize that you were going to be so merciful, to grant so much time. And he thought you were only going to give about 10 minutes, so he left about 20 people back at his house.
It's my father-in-law's birthday.
Oh.
And it's my son's 9th birthday.
Oh.
And what we are doing is we decided we're going to have a family.
That's nice. Very nice.
And then my wife said,
give some prasadam.
A couple of nights ago, my wife said, well,
take some blessings from the temple.
Well, thank you very much. Or your son and
father. So we decided to get all of my father-in-law's friends. He doesn't know yet. And I'm supposed to pick him up, you see. You know, I'm supposed to pick him up. Half an hour. He just thinks it's a family. It's a family. By the time we get home, it's a surprise for him.
It's very nice. It's a very nice function. The father-in-law and the grandson. Give some prasadam for them also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We invited everyone over to one Bhugishrava's house one night. We had a big party. And Molly came and Raymond came and they became very much addicted to prasadam.
Make his father-in-law also interested.
Well, he was here on Sunday.
So yes.
He came down on Sunday.
So this Krishna consciousness movement is very nice. We can make friends anyone. So you are going.
Thank you very much for your time.
For your coming.
You've been most gracious and kind with us. I hope you have a nice trip.
Thank you. He's coming back in January too. Maybe then we can have a longer
meeting. It is a very nice place. I wish to stay here, but I've got so many branches I have to go.
Good night.
I think you must be very happy to see what's happened in Melbourne.
Yes, yeah. I'm very happy. This house is quite suitable for us.
They looked very hard for a long time.
Yes.
They've had a lot of difficulty.
Oh, yes.
This is one of the things that I imagine, you know the story, but the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, owned this property. And it was almost by devious means that it was acquired.
They didn't want to sell direct
like that. It's that beautiful building across there. I think you saw photos of
the convent. Should have followed by mentioning
it. Oh, yes.
We found out, or the suggestion was, because there are little power groups in that church that possibly the senior people don't know about, but they objected for some reason.
Yeah.
It's very hard to understand.
In London, we wanted to purchase on charge. That was not working. But when we approached the priest, in charge, not directly to me, but one of my disciples, he informed me that I shall better set fire in this church. Still, I shall not get to this alone.
That's one reason that the name religion has possibly become bad in the eyes of non-religious people when they hear something like that. Because you could assume that whatever religion, if a person was religious...
Religion means God.
God is one. That should aid all religions.
Yes.
And the more Krishnas there are, the more other religious people might benefit.
According to Srimad Bhagavatam, religion means the law given by God. Just like law means the act given by the state. You cannot manufacture law, I cannot manufacture law. From that point one.
Bob's in a similar position almost to Raymond. His wife's expecting a baby any minute.
Oh.
So
that's nice.
Wonderful.
How many children he has?
How many more?
Putra hinam griham sunnam. Family without children, it is vacant. People now there. Under this consciousness, the family without children. No, that family means with children. Otherwise it is desert. Putra hinam griham sunnam. Sunnam is zero.
One thing I wondered about in our terms, sometimes if you find a person that you admire or you believe does good, that he professes to be an atheist. I'm thinking of a person like Bertrand Russell.
No, our ideas are standard. We are not manufacturing any idea. It's like whatever we speak, immediately we give evidence from this heart. That is our standard. We accept standard idea. And the standard idea means the idea is given by God. That is standard. There is no mistake. There is no cheating. There is no illusion. Any idea we form that is, prone to these four defects. One defect is that we are prone to commit mistake. We are prone to be illusion. And our senses are imperfect. So, being subjected to mistaken idea, illusion idea, and senses being imperfect, if we want to give some law, that is cheating.
So the answer to every question is in there?
Yeah.
But at the end,
I do not pose myself that I am perfect. The idea that I am giving, that is what.
Is that open to interpretation? Or is it very... When two people read...
Interpretation, when you do not understand the word, then you can give interpretation. Otherwise there is no chance of interpreting.